Let's go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3, verse 1.
Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. Even unto the tower of Mea they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hananel.
Now here the first gate they are building, and that's the sheep gate. And they said, who started this? This is the high priest. We never saw a high priest going and building houses or building the buildings. The high priest's job is going to the temple and go to the most holy place and stand before God and give the message to the children of God. But now when the Nehemiah comes to this city, and if you remember last chapters we read, he came and he saw the city. He was weeping and crying and talking to God that he wants to go and rebuild. And we learn how the king was pleased and gave him the time off to go and rebuild the city. And he came and surveyed the city in the middle of the night, and nobody was watching, and he saw everything. And then he says to people, let's rebuild the city. God's hand is with us and the king is with us. Let's rebuild the city. And then what happened? All the people, they were ready. They said, yes, we are going to build it. And you'll see only one person or one family didn't do physical work. But most of the people were excited. So the high priest giving an example, let's build the city. And he's building the sheep gate. Now you know those sheep were always used for sacrifice. So that gate was very important to bring the sheep and goats to sacrifice to the Lord. So the first thing they're building, the sheep goat. Jesus Christ said, I am the shepherd, and my people will hear my voice. And if there is someone who is coming and calling you, you will not listen to him, because he is the murderer, killer, and destroyer. So he said, my sheep will hear my voice and follow. So here we see the first thing, the priest is trying to build the sheep gate. Let's read the words too.
And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachor the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah the son of Kaz, and next unto them repaired Meshulam the son of Berechiah the son of Meshezabel, and next unto them repaired Zadok the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord.
Now see here, high priest start building. Now they already built two gates. They build the sheep gate, they build the fish gate. And maybe fish gate people are thinking, oh, I'm not going to build this. It's a smelly, fishy, dirty smell. I'm not going to do that. And so the noble people, I don't know if these noble people are highly educated people or very honorable people or rich people. I don't know who these nobles were. But they said, we are not going to do anything. Maybe they gave the money to build, but they said they did not put their neck or their shoulders to go and do the labor for the God. And they thought, this is very cheap job, we are not going to do it. And say they didn't do it, but we see build the sheep gate and they build the fish gate. And these people, the noble people, do not want to help. Now that was a bad example. I thought if these people are not doing it, other people say, well, if those people are not doing it, we are not going to do it. But we have to think, we are going to follow Christ. The word of God says in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't look at people. If you start looking at people and building your life, you will fail. The people are looking at people, how the pastor is, how the bishop is, or how the pope is, and how they do, and what kind of work they do. If you look in the man and develop your life, you will fail. But if you're looking unto Jesus, you will never fail. Now these people who are building this city or building the Jerusalem wall, those people are godly people, dedicated people, and Nehemiah encouraged these people to build it. Now, these noble people said, we are not going to build it. But Nehemiah did not scold them, did not say, why are you doing it? Nobody complained, but they keep on building. Okay, let's read the verse 6.
Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada the son of Paseah, and Meshulam the son of Besodeah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him repaired Uzziel the son of Harhiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall.
Now, here we see some of the very rich people, a goldsmith, and the other people's names are given, the perfume makers. All these dignified people and rich people, they didn't think, well, we know how to build this thing because we have important job to do. Goldsmith, they work with the gold, and they are very important people for the rich people. When they want to make something, they go to the goldsmith and they will be making whatever the custom made design for you. But they said, we are going to give up our job for a while, and we are going to rebuild the old gates or any gates we are going to do it for the glory of God. And the other people were perfume makers. Now, perfume makers, their job also is very, very difficult job. They have to work with the flowers and make the perfumes and things like that. And the other people are working with the sheep, their smell, and the fish, their smell, old gate, they might be dirty and broken. But these people decided, no matter what, we are going to keep our job aside. And we are going to make this our city, beautiful city. The walls are broken, the gates are broken, but we are not going to keep on building our golds and silver and our perfumes and making beautiful people smelly and things like that. They decided, no matter what, we are going to give up our job and we are going to work for God. How many people are serving the Lord today? Most of the people thinking the preaching is the pastor's job. Visiting home to home is a pastor's job. Going and visiting sick people is the pastor's job. My job is, just go to church, sing a song, couple of songs, and just praise God and give my tithes and offerings, and that's all. Each and every person, they have to think, the God's work is my work. When He has given me the salvation, I was broken down. I was dying. I was without God and without Christ. My life was miserable. When Jesus Christ came and rebuilt my life, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. I'm going to see who needs Christ. And I'm going to go and find the people and encourage those people. Some people said, I'm busy, I don't have time. They do two jobs, three jobs, and still they have what? Hole in the pocket, hole in the bucket, and they are working, but they are not making anything good. That's why we learn in a book of Haggai and a book of Ezra, they are saying, why are you people working and building your houses? And there is no place for worship. The temple is completely rebuilt, but the walls were broken. They thought, well, we are worshiping the Lord, and who cares about the broken walls? But when the Nehemiah came and he said, listen, I tore everything and looked everywhere. Not a single man noticed me, what I was doing and where I was going. That means you are not watchful. Your cities are broken down, and there is an invitation for thieves and robbers to come and destroy you. So we have to look at our spiritual life. If there is someone you see, I'm spiritually strong, I'm not broken, I'm rebuilt, I'm spiritually good. But if somebody is down, Somebody needs your help. You have to help. The book of James said, when somebody comes to your church, and if they have a golden ring and they have beautiful clothes, you say, come on, come on, and sit in the front. Then some person, poor people, comes and they don't have good clothes. Hey, you go and sit there near my feet, or go in the back. This is what we see in churches. Churches, people say, if somebody's rich man comes, so they will give more respect to that man. And if some poor person could not give a penny for the church, or he has a raggedy clothes or something, nobody cares. But the word of God says we have to look at the souls. If anyone comes to the church, we have to serve them. We have to see in your neighborhood. If somebody needs my help, I have a good house, good food and everything. If my neighbor or somebody is suffering, there are people in their neighborhood they are living, but their next door neighbor doesn't know who you are. They don't know that person is born again or saved or go to church because we don't invite them. Oh, could you come to church? I did my part. I talked to all of my neighbors and invite them and talk to them and pray for them. And some of them say, oh, we are Catholic and we don't go to another church. Okay, when you have need, tell us and we'll pray for you. The point I'm making here, the goldsmith or the perfume makers are the highly rich people, and they are doing their job very well, but give up their job and start working on the temple. So we see different kinds of people coming. The goldsmith are coming, or priests are coming, and the perfume makers are coming, and they're giving their job, and they're losing their money, but they're thinking the building the walls of Jerusalem is important. We do not want any enemy to come and attack us again. That's why they were doing this. Verse 9.
And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Haramath, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah, Melchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pahath-Moab, repaired the other piece, and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halahesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters.
Now, listen to this man. This man is the ruler of Jerusalem. Half of the Jerusalem is under him. But so how? He has no children. Means he has no sons. All this repair work, you need a muscle power, you need a strength, you need a desire to do the things. Now, this man is half of the Jerusalem he's ruling. He has so many servants maybe, and he might be have so many workers working for him. But what he's saying, he says, my daughters, I don't have son. Could you come and help me to build this wall or build these gates? And the daughter didn't say, hey, I'm a girl. I'm not going to take this, what you call, the cement and the stone and the beams and all of this metal work. This is not my kind of job. The Bible says the woman is the weaker vessel. But these girls start saying, Daddy, we are your sons. We are going to build. If you don't have a son, don't worry. I'm going to be your son. I'm going to build with you. And they were doing their job. Today we see in our army, not only men, but the ladies are working, and they are working side by side. They have respect for their country. They want to build their country. They want to support their country. And they want enemy to be defeated. And so here we see this daughter says, Daddy, we want to work with you. He might have said, daughters, I am a rich man and the ruler of the half of Jerusalem. I have so many people can work with me. But they are saying, this, see, the priests start working, and their brethren and their children work, and all these goldsmiths and all these perfume makers, all these people are working and their children working with them. So we are your daughters and we are going to work with you. It's very important. So each and every one should be serving the Lord. Now there are so many people thinking, you know what, serving the Lord means be a pastor. That's not the only job the ladies can do. There are so many other things ladies can do. Now, I'm not against the ladies working, but I'm just giving a point. According to the Bible says only ladies will be allowed to the working in the churches or in the ministry. They have to be their husband dead, or they are very old and they have no desire to marry again, and they are living a clean and holy life. Those are the people they added in the ministry. But today there are young ladies, they want to be pastor, and they said, my husband, you be my assistant. And this is the way they want to do, because one lady said, you know, God called me first, and God called me, call you later, you got saved later than me, so I will be the head pastor, and you will be the assistant pastor. And that man called me and said, Pastor Peter, could you talk to my wife? I play the piano, I sing, I do all the preaching, I talk to the government leaders and everything, but my wife thinks I am assistant, and she doesn't allow me to be a pastor. And so I went and talked to her. I said, ma'am, what the Bible says? Who is the head of the house? The husband. If the head of the house is the husband, is a man. The God's house is a bigger house. Who will be the head of the big house? She's supposed to say, the man, but she didn't want to say anything. And she said, well, I am the head of this church. I said, the time will come. God will take your husband away, and you will be very miserable. And exactly happened. The husband died, and she didn't know how to run the church. And then she hired somebody to help her. And that man, instead of helping the church, helped her and spoiled her life. And every church member started hating her, and the church completely became zero member. The point I'm making, some people are power hungry. God has given the chance to everybody. Now, this daughter didn't come and say, Daddy, we are working for you, but we want to be the high priest also. We want to be working for the Lord. You remember what happened? Moses' sister, Miriam, started fighting with Moses and said, why you are the only one can be serving the Lord? I have to do something in the tabernacle. What happened? She got a leprosy, and she was very sick. And then Moses came to the Lord, said, Lord, please heal her. He said, if she would have done something wrong to her father, and father spit on her, she will be saying 7 days unclean. So I'm not going to heal her right now. Let her learn the lesson. And then later on, week later or so, she got healed. The point I'm making, this woman's liberation coming from the beginning. God has given so many chances. Instead of going and talking to somebody about Lord Jesus Christ, going to the hospital, taking care of Sunday school, and doing so many things in the church ladies can do. But they said, we want to be pastor. I want to be bishop. I want to be pope. And this is the kind of ladies are fighting. But this lady said, Daddy, we can work with the dust, we can work with the stone, we can work with the mud, and we will be serving the Lord. That's the humble spirit. So, point I'm making, each and every person has a job in the church. The man, the woman, or children, everyone can do something for the Lord. There are people dying without God and without Christ. We don't have time to fight and pick it and tell the people, this is what has to be done. If you need something, go to the Lord, stay on your knee and pray, and God will use every one of you. Okay, let's read verse 13.
The valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gates. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof.
Now this dung gate also made by a ruler. That person did not say, I'm the ruler. And many people listen to me. I can send somebody to make this dung gate, the refuse gate, is the smelly gate. I'm not going to do, but he humbled himself. I'm going to do this, repairing this dung gate. Even the smelly is dirty. Nobody wants to do the job. Do you know in another country, if you're doing the job like picking the garbage or something, they'll say, hey, you're untouchable. This is what they do in India. If anybody does the cheaper job, cleaning the bathroom, sweeping the roads, or picking up the garbage, they call them untouchable and they don't want any part of them. But in America, if anybody does the garbage collecting, they get the higher salary and they're happy. People are thinking to looking for that kind of job. And so here we have an example. The person is the ruler. He's a highly educated. He has all the knowledge to rule the people. But he said, no problem. I'm going to clean the dirty gates. I'm going to build this refuse gate or the dung gate. No problem, because I'm doing for the Lord. There was a man came to one minister, and he said, I like to serve the Lord. And that pastor said, okay, take a broom and go out there and clean the yard. That man was a little bit disappointed. He said, I thought this man should have some knowledge. When I want to serve the Lord, he should have said, go and get the Sunday school, do the Bible study or preach or something. But he's telling me, take a broom and clean the yard. But the point I'm making, that man was looking at this person. Who is this man? Is he power hungry or is he a humble person? This I'm giving a story about the Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith, the one told this man, go and clean the yard. And who was that other person was cleaning the yard? That's a Greg Laurie. So the point I'm making, that person humbly took the job to clean the streets or clean the backyard or front yard. Today he is a great preacher. The point I'm making, we have to serve the Lord humbly. No matter what kind of job God gives to us, willingly do it. There was one day in my church, the RTO officer came to our church. And he sat, and after the service, he said, Pastor Peter, I need a glass of water. I was talking with him, so there is another brother. I said, could you go and get a water for him? So this brother was a Jain Vanya. He was very rich, but he had the 8 kind of disease, and God healed him. And he got saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. But he didn't want to give the water for that person, thinking that it will be cheap. He said, why don't you go and get the water? Then I went, got the water for this brother. I said, I'm sorry, sir. This brother doesn't know how to be humble. God healed him. God delivered him. God did a miracle for him. But he's so proud. He could not give you water. So I prayed with him. And then brother left after the service. And then we had the evening service. And he started getting for the evening service. I said, where are you going? Oh, I'm going for evening service. I said, you're not coming. So why not? I said, you have to humble yourself. You cannot give the water to somebody when you're thirsty. You want to go and give your testimony and preach there with a Bible in your hand? So he said, I'm sorry. I said, go and wash those dishes. Then we'll go. So he made himself humble. He went and washed those dishes and said, can I come now? I said, never again. Be proud. Because in the house of God, there are all kinds of jobs. So we have to be humble enough to serve the people. We don't have to be proud. They don't know you might be king's son. One day, the king's brother's son came to our church. And I told him, sit on the floor. And I sat with him a floor. I said, sir, here everybody is equal. So the point I'm making, here the word of God is saying, you are a ruler, or you are a highly educated, or you are a goldsmith or perfume maker. If you come to the house of God, we are all equal. Okay, let's read verse 15.
But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kolhoze, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs to go down from the city of David.
Now here we see each and every gate has some meaning, but we don't have time to go and study about all the gates. Someday when we have time, we'll do it. But here it says he's repairing the fountain gate. What Jesus Christ said to the Samaritan lady, if you believe me, if you know who I am, I'll give the water, and that water will be fountain, like a living fountain in your life. So they are repairing fountain gates. But we know we don't need the ordinary water. We have the water from Christ. We have the Word of God. And that should be flowing in your, from your belly. The Word of God says, St. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, he says, come and drink from me, and out of your belly flowing the rivers of water. Don't be satisfied with the fountain of water. We want to be rivers of water. One river is a blessing for many, many, many citizens. But if you have many rivers flowing out of you, you will be blessing to many people. So we have to see if my river running properly. And if not, come to the fountain. Come to Jesus Christ and receive your blessing. Let's read verse 16.
After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzor, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty.
Now this man also, the ruler of the half of the city. And what he's repairing the burial ground. And so if you remember, Nehemiah said to the king, he said, King, I want to go and repair the burial ground of my forefathers. And the king was sympathetic. The burial grounds are broken. And so he said, go and fix it. Now here we see somebody's coming and fixing the burial ground of David. And today there are so many Muslims are destroying the burial grounds of Jewish people and saying, that is our ground. But here the people are fixing the ground. No matter how rich they are, but they are going in the burial ground and fixing the burial ground. People are sometimes, they are scared to go to the burial ground. And some people go to burial ground to do the worship. If their forefathers or mother or father, they are dead, they take the flowers and go every week or every day and cry there and give the flowers. I tell these people, they are not there. You get the $100 of flowers a month and putting there, it's no use. There are people dying without food. They don't have anything. Why don't you help them? Going to burial ground is not going to help, because those people who are dead in Christ, they are in the better place. We don't have to go every day and cry for them, because God has already taken them to heaven. And if they are not Christians, they are already waiting in a hell for the judgment. And so you're going there and spending money and making the tomb beautiful is not going to help. When my father died, my brother wrote to me, our father died, we will make a big monument for my father's tombstone or something like that. Could you send some money? I said, sir, I can send the money for his burial or whatever the expenses, but I would not put a penny to make a tombstone. My father is not there, and my father is already in heaven. So there is no tombstone for my father. There is no tombstone for my mother. When I go to India, I don't even go to burial ground. No, I'm not looking for them. Why? Because they are in heaven. So, but people living in the world, they are concerned. One person came to me and he said, you know, Pastor Peter, I already set up the burial stone, and this is the writing on the burial stone, and this is what I'm going to do. I said, sir, that's up to you. But I'm not looking for going down. I'm looking for going up. Jesus Christ can come anytime. If Jesus Christ comes today, I don't have to go looking for burial ground. I'll be going up. And some people come and say, oh, pastor, we have a burial ground for 4 people, and why don't you buy in advance? I said, well, if I buy in advance $5,000 I spend today, and tomorrow Jesus Christ comes and I'll go, then my $5,000 will be wasted. Should I put that $5,000 to winning souls? So I'm not looking for the burial ground or where the burial ground will be. Now people say, but when you die, you have to have dignifying things. I said, they will have some place somewhere. But when I'm alive, I want to do something for the Lord. The point I'm making, Nehemiah says, I'm going to go and prepare the burial ground, the broken one. So they have to keep the word, and they will be bringing the burial ground and making the walls of Jerusalem. Okay, verse 17.
After him repaired the Levites, Rehum the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. And next to him repaired Ezer the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Baruch the son of Zabai earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. After him repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah the son of Kaz another piece from the door of the house of Eliashib even to the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashab over against their house. After him repaired Azariah the son of Maaseiah the son of Ananiah by his house. After him repaired Binui the son of Henadad, another piece from the house of Azariah unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Palal the son of Uzai over against the turning of the wall and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house that was by the court of the prison. After him Pedaiah the son of Parash. Moreover the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east and the tower that lieth out.
Now, as we learn the Nethinim, Nethinim were people where they were not called real Jewish people, mixed marriages, and they were like a slave. And their job was what? Bringing the water, bringing the wood, and helping the Levites or priests to bring the water and bring the wood, and they were working very hard. Here we see other people are building the king's houses and palaces and other things. Now these poor people, but they were very strong. They were like builders. They are always lifting the heavy weight and water and wood. They said, okay, we are going to build the water gate because there is the one they have to bring the water from that gate. So they start building the water gate. They didn't say, we are poor, we don't have any money, and we always worked very hard. Can somebody help us? But each and every person we see here, they did not ask anybody's help. They did not ask anybody's money. But they start thinking, I want to work, my family will work, and every family will chip in and working. I don't know, Nehemiah gave them the salary. It's nothing written in here. But they might have paid. But each and every person is very active doing their own job. Today we see in our city, they have to come and clean the cities, clean the streets and everything, and watch over everything. If every citizen start cleaning their own backyard, own front yard, then we will be not needing all these other people and take their trash. And if the government says this is the dumping ground, you take the trash and put it there, then we will not be paying too much money. Some people, they are retired, and if you see your water bill or something, and you see where this money is going. And I was seeing our water bill was like $10 or uses were $10 or something. And my bill is $69 or $70 water bill. So where is this money going? They're going in different uses or different things government is doing. The point I'm making, if each and every person start doing their job, it will be easy. The point I'm making, each and everyone, Nathaniel, these people were poor, but they were working hard and they built the water gate because they want to show that we are also helper. Verse 27.
After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok the son of Immer over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun the sixth son of Zalaph another piece. After him repaired Meshulam the son of Berechiah over against his chamber. After him repaired Malchiah the goldsmith's son unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad and to the going up of the corner.
Now here we see again, now the one goldsmith were building near the sheep gates, and now this goldsmith and his children, they are working. Now this is almost finishing the job. They're starting, they finish the east gate, they finish the horse gate, they finish everything, and now this is the last gate they are going to finish. And here also see goldsmith and their children working. They didn't say, well, the other goldsmith, they did, so we don't have to do it because my brother did it, I'm not going to do it. But they said, okay, if my brother did it, I'm going to do it. And each and every person start humbly working and finish the product. Now, when you see the last word, if you read, it says they came up to the sheep gate. Please read that verse and finish it.
And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants.
See, all these people, when we started the sheep gate, that priest started, and now these people say, okay, we are going to bring it, and all the goldsmiths and other people come and finish the sheep gate and complete all the gates. And I was reading, and when I was studying, I just start checking the how many gates are there. There's supposed to be 12 gates. But we see only 10 gates are repaired in this chapter. So I was thinking, what happened to the two other gates? But two other gates were not broken. You go and read the book of Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 39.
And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananel, and the tower of Maah, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate.
Now, only two gates we didn't see, the Ephraim's gate and the prison gate. All other gates were broken. Read the 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 13.
And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits.
Now see, this was a civil war, and they coming and breaking the Ephraim's gate. And so these people have to rebuild that gate, so that gate was stronger. So this time, when Nehemiah came, this Ephraim's gate is okay, prison gate is okay, because the prison gate, they have to make it strong all the time. The prisoner should not run away. So point I'm making, all these 12 gates were completed. Why? Because of the unity, love, and togetherness. Even the nobleman came and said, we are not going to put our hands, we are not going to put our shoulders, we are not going to put our necks, we are not going to rebuild. But other people did not say, okay, if he's not doing it, I'm not going to do it. Everybody start doing the building, the walls of Jerusalem. So what we learning? If you remember the Moses, the first time want to build the tabernacle, and he says, we have silver and gold and everything what you have, please bring it. We are going to build the tabernacle. All the people bought so much silver and gold and clothes and everything. And the Moses says, stop it, stop it. We don't need any more. We got more than enough. Today some churches I see, they are complaining. What they complain is, oh, we don't have enough offering. We don't have people coming to church. I said, don't you worry. God is the supplier. God the one sends the people to church. I'm not worried about anything. My God is all-sufficient God. What the Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has supplied all our needs. Now this building looks so small, this and the other part. This building was $950,000. That means $1 million building. I was not sitting there and crying and say, where am I going to get the money? I called the real estate man and said, sir, I want to buy this building. He didn't say anything, but maybe he heard my voice. Maybe he doesn't sound like American. I don't think he has the money. So he waited 3 weeks to just answer my call or write a letter. But 3 weeks, I was praying. I didn't say, hey, are you prejudiced? Why you don't answer my call? Why didn't you write a paper? Why didn't you send me the bill? I didn't say anything. I went to God. I said, Lord, this man might be thinking I don't have money. But you can change his heart. Tell him to reduce the money. I just prayed. He writes me a letter, and letter is already in the mail. And he says, Dr. Peter, you might be wondering why I didn't send you a papers. But I'm doing some favor to you. I said, what is it? I reduced the price. Was $950,000. I made it $750,000. $200,000 reduced. I said, thank God. God did a miracle. I was excited. I got the paper. I didn't have that money still. I didn't have the $750,000. But I was excited. I got the paper. I was walking here and claiming this building is mine. Here comes the lady, and the snow was on the floor, and she's coming with the slippers and the nightgown. I thought maybe she's coming just out of the sleep or something. And she said, hey, gentlemen, what are you doing here? I said, ma'am, I'm looking at the building. I have the paper in my hand. I want to buy this building. She said, this building is sold. I said, how come? I thought, somebody will think this lady is crazy. I have the paper in my hand. The lady is saying the building is sold. But I did not insult her. I said, sister, who bought this building? Do you know? She said, yes, I can show you. Follow me. I had another brother with me. I followed her. She crossed the street and I followed her. She went to another one building and I stayed at the door. And she comes with a hatch, something, you know, to hit. I said, are you killing me or something? She said, no. This is just, I want to take it to another building. I said, where is the man? She said, he's coming, wait. I waited patiently. The man comes, and I introduce myself. He said, okay, Dr. Peter, you want to see the building? I said, yes. He comes and shows me the building. Wow, nice and warm. It was winter time. And he kept it very well, and I came down and looked everywhere. I liked the building. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving this building. And then after showing, he said, come to my office. I went to his office. He said, this building is not for sale. I said, why did he show me? He said, I have a customer. This is a chiropractor. Two doctors. One is going to use this building. One is going to use that building. And they're going to give me $6,500 per month. Can you match that? I said, no, sir. He said, well, that you want to rent this? You are a good man. You are a man of God. I like you. And so I'll give it to you and I'll tell these people I don't need you. I said, can we pray? He said, okay. I held his hand and we are three people, myself, another brother and this man. And we prayed. I prayed like this. Lord, I'm going to use this building for the glory of God. The people are going to come, get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. This man wants to make more money. Maybe he wants to be a millionaire, but let him know, I'm a servant of God. I want to serve you. So change his heart and let him give it to me so I can buy this building. And I said, amen. And I said, sir, when your heart is changed, call me. He said, Dr. Peter, God changed my heart right now. Let me show the paper that this building is mine. And he showed the picture, paper. He said, I bought this building. He's a realtor and the other person is a realtor. And so they said the people are vandalizing and this and that. This building is sitting for a long time. I spent $60,000 to fix this building after I bought it. And he said, I bought it and I was, not only I'm going to sell it to you, but I'm going to sell it to you the price I bought it. I said, how much you bought it for? He says, $550,000. Now, can you imagine? Now, that man's give $2,000, $200,000. Now, he's giving another $200,000. I said, okay, now what's the deal? He says, only thing is this, you have to give me $50,000 for my service. I said, well, I don't have the money right now anyhow. I'll give it to you. It's a long story, but I got the building. The point I'm making, God is the one who supplies the need. If I start sitting and crying and say, Lord, I don't have money, where am I going to find? When I like the building, I said, God is El Shaddai. He's going to supply my needs. And I bought this building by faith. The point I'm making, our God is all-sufficient God. Don't look what other person is doing. If he does something, I'll do. If he doesn't do, I won't do. Do it for the Lord. As I said earlier, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We cannot put our trust in any man. He said, do not trust any man. Do not trust any king. Trust in the living God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to learn how different kinds of people come. And they had the one project, serving the Lord, fixing the building. But we have the building which is not broken, which is not going to be broken, which is not going to be shaken. It's settled in heaven. And we are looking into that building to go. The new Jerusalem, not the broken down building. So Lord Jesus, give us grace and give us that hope that we are looking unto Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And he will come, defeat the devils, have the millennium kingdom. After that, we will have eternal kingdom with our Father in heaven. So give us grace and that hope to look for Christ to come and occupy until he comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.